Is $16 for a blouse a bargain or a budget buster? For the Frugalista blogger Natalie McNeil, her purchase hit a nerve for some of her readers. They've been monitoring McNeil ever since she took a vow of frugality a couple of months ago. She was, she confessed, a promiscuous spender. Dinner here, a manicure there, soda and chips from the vending machine. All of it added up to the point where she could barely keep up, much less save. But after her first month of thrifty living, she found she'd saved $400. Excited by her success, Natalie McNeil decided to keep that vow of frugality going through March, but eased up a bit on her strict no-spending rule. Her savings after the next 30 days, $200, the same month when she bought that $16 blouse. A splurge or a bargain? Can cheek and cheap go together? We want to hear your stories. What have you done to keep your expenses down and your lifestyle up? Our number, 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. Natalie McNeil joins us from member station WLRN in Miami, and nice to have you on Talk of the Nation today.
Hi, Neil.
How you doing?
Great. Thanks for having me.
Now, you're almost at the end of April now. How's your vow of frugality doing?
It's going pretty well. After I had that controversy on the blog about buying a $16 shirt, I've renewed my vows, and I've been cooking a lot more, and things are going really well. We're on track to save about another $200 this month. If I am better about cooking next month, I think I'll save even more.
But you're having to learn how to cook.
Yes, I'm processed as we go. February was really good, the first month I took the vow, and my cooking got a lot better, but I need to expand the repertoire and try some different things. So, yes, it's a process.
What do you miss the most?
Sometimes you miss just the spontaneity of just going out with your friends and going out, you know, going socially, maybe drinking, doing different things without a care in the world. You miss that part of it. But other things, you don't really miss it. Things are good. I don't miss having my bank account go down each day.
Yeah, I was going to say, you don't miss the heart attack when you open your credit card statement. Yeah,
exactly. So when you go over your bills, you see that, you know, things are a lot calmer now. So I definitely am enjoying that a lot more.
Mm-hmm. Now, you, as I understand it, went on a blog to become the Frugalista in hopes that by going public with this, your readers would monitor you and hold your feet to the fire.
Exactly. I had the idea. I'd seen other people other journalists who'd done a no-buy month where they didn't spend a lot of money. So I wanted to try the same thing, and I wanted to try it through my company and blog for MiamiHerald.com because I thought that'd be a good way to get a wider audience and have the accountability. Because on my own, I tried to cut back here or there. But by taking it public, by blogging about it every day, you have that reader interaction and people give you tips and ideas and you're able to build a community and kind of support one another.
But Blousegate, as you've called it, did that take you aback? I mean, some people thought that this was, well, just going too far. Not that the blouse for $16 was such a bad thing, but that in fact it was a start of a pattern.
Exactly. I love the blouse. I thought it was a great buy. I kind of pride myself on being a good shopper and finding good quality things for, you know, low prices. However, the message is when you're being frugal, there are other things that you can do so that you don't have to spend money. Like maybe I could have worn a shirt in my closet or done other things. So people are just worried about staying on the frugal path and really making sure you have to let go of your cash.
Now, in addition to your blogging, you also have a day job. You're a reporter for the Miami Herald. And I have some experience. A reporter's life can be hectic at times. How do you avoid the going out for Thai food for lunch, that sort of thing?
Well, you definitely have to plan your life a lot more. And so I'm still working on it. It's a process, but you have to plan, okay, this is what I'm going to cook for the week, make a grocery store run on the weekend, and try to cook enough so that you have enough food for lunch the next day. I mean, you definitely have to plan it. It's worth it in the long run, but it's definitely hard because you do live a busy lifestyle and you do live a hectic lifestyle. One thing I've done is not as many like sit down dinners. So when I do order out, I kind of get less expensive food, but that's still good.
In a way, you're not just talking about controlling your spending. You're talking about controlling your life.
It's a lifestyle. I mean, my motto right now is I think frugal can be fabulous. Since I've been cutting back, I've been able to save money. There was a free concert that Erykah Badu threw at the Delano Hotel, which is a major hotel in Miami Beach. You just have to be creative and find ways to have a lot of fun, but just do it for free. So find free events that are out there if you scour the internet for you to do so you can still have a social life, but still watch your finances. I went to New York for the weekend, and I got one of my best friends to buy into the frugal lifestyle, and we went to the Museum of Modern Art on a Friday night when it was free, and that was like a great Friday night excursion. There were a lot of young people there having a good time. So you just have to be thoughtful, but you still have to have a life.
You point out at one point, instead of going into a bar after work and ordering around for everybody in your party, just go in and sip on the free cocktail.
Exactly. When you're going out socially, you probably need to go a little bit earlier, get the happy hour specials, or if they're going to a nightclub, get there before midnight because parking's going to be cheaper. You have to factor that in also. And, you know, club promoters want to get people into their bars a lot earlier, so go before midnight. You know, you have to be creative. You know, go to the free events, do different things, and always have money at the back of your mind. It's not that you become obsessed with it, but whatever you're doing, I bet that there's a way for you to do it a lot cheaper. And you just have to have that faith that you can do it and work with other people to try to get that done. And yes, when you go to the bar, you need to get the happy hour special, and that's it.
We're talking with the Frugalista, Natalie McNeil. And if you're a Frugalista or Frugalist out there, give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. Linda's on the line with us from Phoenix, Arizona.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead, please.
Well, I have to admit, I usually spend my lunch hour either at Taco Bell or eating the sandwich that I made myself sitting in a parking lot listening to your show. And I just delighted in my 99-cent lunch, the water that I brought myself, and my free entertainment. And I just had to say thank you. I'm another Frugalista.
Yay.
And we're happy to provide your entertainment every day.
Thank you. Well, I'm sitting in Phoenix with the top down on my car, so it's not a bad way to go. But it is it's a 99 or less cent lunch, and you're really helping my savings program.
Well, great. It's a beautiful day here in Washington, D.C. I hope it's as nice in Phoenix.
Well, it's about 88 degrees, so I'm getting a tan while I'm listening to both of you.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Thanks.
Bye-bye, and good luck. Let's go now to Paul. Paul with us from Columbus, Ohio.
Hi, Neil. How you doing?
I'm well, thanks.
I have probably one of your less popular activities in terms of being frugal, but it is kind of can be rewarding. Trash picking.
Trash picking?
Yes, as in you go out the night before a municipality, suburb, whatever. I mean, most of them have assigned trash days. I mean, it's not hard to find out. And, you know, hopefully you've got either, you know, a moderately good-sized car. Pickup is ideal, but you just look for the stuff that people throw away.
There are two varieties of trash in this world. There is wet trash and there is dry trash.
I'm looking for your dry trash.
Oh, good.
Yeah. I don't dumpster dive. I'm not looking for half-eaten meals. But it is absolutely astonishing what you can find. I mean, within 5 miles of your house, you don't have to drive hundreds of miles.
What's your best find in the trash heap?
Oh, my best find within the last year was probably circa 1870 doll's carriage, complete with a folding, a cover that, you know, with a full mechanism, iron and wooden wheels on it, the original wicker. And with the original cloth, it was, except for the fact that I needed to put a couple screws in it and find a way to get the hood to work up and down without tearing the fabric, I picked it up for nothing. Sold it for $105.
Natalie McNeil, have you ever found treasures in the trash?
That's not so fabulous, but whatever works. But what I have found is treasure in my friend's closet. One of the big things I'm into is closet shopping. Like if one of my girlfriends was moving apartments, so I helped her move and she had a pair of shoes that she had never worn and she didn't want them anymore. So I was able to get a pair of wedge sandals. And I know a lot of groups of women and some guys are getting together and saying, you know, look, these are all the clothes I have. Do you want to try this out? Do you want to try this? And that's even cheaper than going to a thrift store.
Sure. It's sort of pre-trash.
Exactly.
And a fine method of recycling.
Paul, thanks very much, and good luck on your next trash run.
I shall. It's tonight.
All right.
Bye.
Oh, wow.
Bye-bye. Let's talk with Renee. Renee's with us from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Hello.
Hi.
I was just commenting. I recently quit my job to stay home. I had a baby, so I'm cutting back on my spending. But it's been very interesting getting calls from the Neiman Marcus sales rep wondering where you are and why you haven't been in the store. And they're always so nice when you go in there. And I just miss that so much. But it's certainly, you know, and you have to make choices when you decide to quit and become another income slot. income down at the family. So it was just, I don't know. I miss that, though. I miss going in and being pampered. But obviously they're being paid to pamper me, but I don't know. It's certainly something I miss.
Do you miss it too, Natalie?
Well, I believe that you can pamper yourself, but you have to pamper in moderation. For instance, I used to get my hair done every other week, and that would run about $70 a month. Instead, I get my hair done and get a total workover with the hair color and chemicals every 6 to 8 weeks, and that only costs $80. And the other times, either I'll do my hair at home or I'll have a friend of mine do my hair. So you can splurge, but you can't do it all the time. So if you're used to going to Neiman Marcus, I mean, that's a little pricey, but
yeah,
maybe if they have
like $16 blouses at Neiman Marcus. So
yeah, exactly. That's pretty pricey there. But it all depends on what your budget can allow. I mean, it just depends on how. Every so often, like I had a reader on my blog who wanted to buy a $27 candle, which is pretty pricey for a candle. But if you put it in your miscellaneous file in your budget, maybe you can afford to do that. If you buy that candle, you know that you may not be able to go out to eat or you have to cook for the rest of the week. You have to find out what's important to you and just focus on getting it some of the time, not all of the time. It doesn't have to be a way of life. It has to be a treat.
And I can't put a price tag on the time I'm getting with my daughter. So, you know, I'm enjoying it, but I certainly do. There are definitely times that I miss a great deal of the pampering I used to get. Or not pampering, just being able, like you said, you're just able to be a little more frivolous and a little more less planning things out. So
exactly.
Even those of us
good luck to you.
And thank you, Renee.
Thank
good
you.
Luck with you and your child.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. We're talking with the Frugalista, Natalie McNeil. She writes the Frugalista files for the MiamiHerald.com, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Let's go now to Jay. Jay's with us from St. Louis in Missouri.
Hi there. You know, Frugalista, I made a New Year's resolution a couple of years ago to lose some weight, and that was very successful for me. I lost about 20 pounds. Now, this year I made a resolution to spend less money, and I'm gaining all the weight back. I've gained 10 pounds since January. I have mutually exclusive resolutions. What do I do?
Are you cooking?
I cook at home. And when I cook good because I miss my eating out. You know, I miss the good, you know, the Olive Gardens and Red Lobsters of the world. So I cook with cream and butter and all the good, yummy stuff, and I save money. But I, you know, it's like I take those dollars and I just stick them right onto my flap.
What about exercising? Do you live in a warm climate? Is the weather thawing out?
I hate to exercise. I don't exercise enough, that's for sure. But is there any way to balance being frugal and eating healthy at the same time? It just seems like it's so expensive to eat a good, healthy way.
You probably have to do a little more portion control. That's probably the main thing. And then exercise. Like, since I've been becoming more frugal, there's a bank right by my house, so I'll just walk to the bank instead of getting in my car and driving there. And there's a grocery store, and if I don't have to get a lot of things, I'll just walk there. So there's little ways to, A, help the environment by using less gas and, you know, save on your gas bills. So maybe if you can walk a little bit more, and then exercise can help too. And then portion control. I'm not one to tell people, no, don't do this, don't do that at all. I just believe within moderation.
Have you found, what kinds of things do you find that you like to cook that are cheap but that are still good for you and don't add to your pounds?
Well, everything, I don't cook a lot of pasta and I don't cook with a lot of cream, so that's what helps me out a lot. And actually, when I was cooking at home every day, I lost about 4 pounds, so I'm sort of surprised you're gaining weight. But what I've been cooking is a lot of stir fry. I have a wok and I pretty much put everything in a wok, so that helps out a lot. And, you know, a lot of chicken's pretty nice. I like a lot of seafood, so that's easy to deal with. And, you know, it's not heavy. Salmon's good, fish. Chicken and fish is kind of good. That works out well, too. So I haven't had a problem. I'm kind of surprised you're gaining weight, but I mean, do you need some more activities?
Yes.
Has cooking become like a sport for you? Maybe that's what it is. Do you need some other activities to kind of fill your time?
That's what it is. I have such a good time doing it, and the food tastes so good when it comes out, I just can't quit eating.
Well, do you invite friends over?
That's what I should do.
There you
go.
Yes,
invite your friends over, so that way you can't eat up all the food, and when it's gone, it's gone, and afterwards you all go for a walk.
I'll invite them and share my portions, and then we'll all exercise together.
Jay,
yes.
Sounds like a plan.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. And let's see if we can go to a last caller. This is Mariah. Mariah with us from Alameda in California.
That's right. Hi.
Hi.
Well, I'm wondering if you have a couple of simple steps to get started becoming a frugalista, because I would like to be, and I am very much not. And so I'm wondering if you could help me just with a couple of steps. I often find it gets a little overwhelming because I feel like I have to change my whole lifestyle. So what are a couple of ways to get going?
Well, for me, and I was just like you, where I would try little things for a while, it would work, it wouldn't work, and then the cooking would get to be too much. So that's why I did a blog. And there's a lot of bloggers out here who, there's like a whole industry of bloggers who blog about trying to watch their finances. I find that that helps a lot. And they don't even necessarily have to tell their name. They have their own persona online. So that's a good way. And you meet other bloggers who are doing the same thing. It's a supportive community. Also, if you can enlist your friends and family and tell them, this is what I'm going to do, this is what I want to do, I bet you that they'll probably buy in and say, you know what, we've been wanting to cut back too. It's kind of a trend going on right now. Even the affluent people are cutting back from giving their dogs like spa pampering, or, you know, instead of buying a $100,000 car, they're buying a $50,000 car. So everybody's kind of doing this now. So if you can get more people on team with what you're doing, then I think it'll help out a lot. For me, though, honestly, going cold turkey, maybe you don't want to do a month. Maybe you should go a week where you're saying, look, I'm going to cook every day. You know, you can drive your car, but you're just going to be thoughtful about where you drive, and you're not going to shop. Like, before I did my $16 blouse gate splurge, I hadn't shopped since I took the vow of frugality. So maybe you should try that. Just try to go a week without buying any clothes, cooking every day, and being thoughtful about where you drive your car, and I think you'll notice a difference right away. And once you get that instant gratification, the next week it'll be easier. And also peer pressure works. In this case, friends and family, get them on team.
Mariah, thanks very much for the call, and good luck.
Thank you.
And Natalie McNeil, thank you for your time, and good luck to you.
Thanks, Neil.
Natalie McNeil. Natalie McNeil writes the blog The Frugalista Files for the MiamiHerald.com. She joined us from the studios of member station WLRN in Miami. Tomorrow, Ira Flatow's here with Science Friday. Lynn Neary is in on Monday and Tuesday. We'll see you again Wednesday from the Newseum here in Washington, D.C. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.